Come on, Dr. Dre, man. Crank it up, Doc. Crank it up.
Gotta get ready. Sports Man is officially on the air. Here we go.
Sports fans, where y'all at tonight?
Wake up. Time has come. The time is now.
Football fans, where y'all at? Sports fans, where y'all at?
You can't see me, my time is now. It's a franchise where I'm shining now. You can't see me, my time is now.
Yeah, welcome, of course, to Talking Sports with the 12th Man. You guys know what time it is. Of course, it is Tuesday, January 22nd. And once again, we are keeping it rolling with another explosive edition of Talking Sports with the 12th Man. I am Andre Peterson, joined by Mr. Robert Ford. And, of course, as always, you know the drill. We got a lot of fun things to talk about, a lot of things to jump into. As always, I got to check in with my co-host, Mr. Robert Ford. How are you doing this evening, sir?
Man, doing great, Doc. We got a lot to talk about. NFL, NBA, college hoops. Let's get right to it, my brother.
Sounds great to me. For those who want to call into the show, we got to throw the numbers out there for you guys. First, call in toll free. The number is 424-243-9519. You can also follow us, and you can send us any types of comments via Twitter. The handle is @12, H-M-A-N Sports. As well as you can follow us via Facebook, facebook.com/12thmansports. So there's a lot of ways to get in touch with us. Make sure if we are your destination for talking sports. So a lot of fun things. And, Robert, let's jump right into it. Obviously, the championship games for this past weekend, a lot of things to talk about. But first and foremost, let's talk it with let's start off with something a little controversial. And Mr. Tom Brady, some say he is the face, one of the faces of the NFL. He had a nice little, not a nice little move, if you will, but he had an interesting slide. And the question that we're asking is if we think that slide was pretty dirty. And I'm going to toss it to you, sir. What do you think? Do you think that slide was dirty for Mr. Tom Brady?
Well, I definitely think it was intentional. So, yes, I think I think it was dirty. And, you know, and I think sometimes in the heat of the moment, you know, guys do stuff that they don't really want to do. And I don't really think, you know, Tom Brady is a bad person or anything like that. But I do think the kick and the slide and then the kick afterward was intentional. He has reached out to Ed Reed and apologized both via phone and text. And so, you know, at least he was able to do that. But, you know, in the heat of the moment, you know, he did something he wasn't supposed to do. And I think, you know, where I'm a little upset is, and, you know, and I was actually rooting for the Patriots in this game, is that, you know, the quarterback, the NFL protects the quarterback, but when a quarterback do something that would, you know, with wrong intent, there's no penalty thrown. And so, you know, that's a little upsetting to me. They'll throw these flags quickly when a defensive guy, you know, hits a helmet to helmet. Now a quarterback slides and then kicks a player and there's no flag thrown. And I think something needs to be done about that as well. And like I said, I'm not saying Tom Brady is a bad person at all. I just think he did something in the heat of the moment. And but, you know, I do think that, you know, the quarterbacks cannot be untouchable. If they do something wrong, it should be a flag for it as well.
Yeah, I agree with you 100% too. I definitely think that a lot of times you got players that are very, very competitive. And as you mentioned, I just think he got caught up in the heat of the moment. And the same thing, you know, it's not fair that Tom Brady gets away with certain things and kicking players and whatnot whenever, you know, a certain player like Ed Reed will, you know, get fined, you know, $20,000, $50,000, something crazy. So, yeah, it's definitely a double standard. Hopefully the league will take a look at this situation and realize that, you know, they didn't even up the playing field. But like you said, I don't think that Tom Brady is a dirty player. He definitely tried to do his best to reach out to Ed Reed and apologize. And obviously Ed being the professional said, yeah, hey, so no worries. We know that you're probably upset with the way the game is going, so let's keep moving. So you got to give Ed Reed some credit too for being a professional as well.
Ed Reed, New Orleanian.
I had a feeling that was going to come into play too. Let's talk about another pretty big story here, and I'm sure this is going to make you very, very excited in that Roger the Dictator Goodell has actually reinstated Sean Payton. Some say it may be due to the timing of the Super Bowl. He doesn't want anything to happen while he's there. But needless to say, this is probably a good move for the Saints organization to kind of I don't know if you can actually put Bounty Gate behind you guys, but obviously I think it's good to get Sean Payton there to get the ship righted for next year so you can get in there and start doing some evaluation of players and all that good jazz.
Well, absolutely, yes. I mean, we can obviously go into the fact that he shouldn't have been suspended from the get-go, which I still strongly believe that, and several other sources strongly believe that as well. But at this point, you know, it's time to move on. And you know, obviously I believe that this was a PR move, as you mentioned, and Goodell goes ahead and reinstates them before his arrival to New Orleans for the Super Bowl. And, yes, and Sean Payton has some work to do, obviously. You know, our offensive line coach, Aaron Cromer, is now going to be the offensive coordinator for the Bears, so that's a great promotion for him. Congratulations to Aaron Cromer. He was a great contributor to the Saints' success and, you know, helped the Saints win the Super Bowl in 2009 as well. So Sean Payton needs to obviously replace him. He was a great integral part to our staff. And so Sean Payton has got some work to do in getting to that aspect of replacing the coach evaluation process as well. And, you know, I'm going to say this. I've been very critical of, you know, Roger Goodell probably for about the last year or so, and I truly believe it's rightfully so. But I'm going to say this to my fellow New Orleanians that may be listening. It's time to move on from this. And obviously, you know, they did award our great city with a Super Bowl. And so we need to treat them with respect when it comes to our city, and because we want to get another one here in 2018 when we celebrate New Orleans' 300th birthday here. So it's time to move on from this, and you know, and I'm even talking to myself. We're going to move on from this, and we're going to show the man and treat him with some respect when it comes to our city here.
It's a pretty big move, Rob. I believe there are definitely no winners or losers in this particular situation. I know there's still a lot of things that still can be said about the situation, but let's move forward. And for those people that are pretty interested in the situation, you got to remember that Sean Payton became the highest paid coach because of this. You know, I don't know what happened, the circumstances, and I know there's some negotiating. So if you're Sean Payton, you come out pretty good in spite of the fact that, you know, obviously it cost the Saints this season, you would say, but, you know, he got a lot more money.
Well, I think there's some truth to that. I mean, actually, this contract is really no different than what he agreed to even before all of this happened.
So
but
the
there were just some length. I'm sorry?
He's still the highest paid coach, though. He's going to become the highest paid coach, supposedly.
Yes,
so.
But
anyway,
but he basically agreed to this contract a year and a half ago, but Roger Goodell did not approve it based on some language that was in the contract. And so it's really no different than what he had already agreed to from a dollar standpoint. And, you know, it's just that they had to clean up some language in the contract, and that's why it had to be renegotiated all over again. But this contract was pretty much agreed to in September of 2011. And Goodell just wanted them to clean up some language, and that's why the contract had to be redone. But it's not as a result of this past season is the reason why he's the highest paid coach. This was agreed to even before this was agreed to basically in September 2011, which was a season and a half ago.
Interesting. All right, we'll keep it moving, Rob. I mean, I'm pretty sure there's some things that happened as well, but I trust what's going on with that. You're close to the situation, so we'll keep it moving as always. And let's jump into the nice next statement as far as the Super Bowl preview. And obviously, the 49ers and the Ravens have made it into the Super Bowl. And I'm sure we're going to get sick of this statement of the Harbaugh, which has been going on. You're going to hear that for the next 2 weeks.
It's already
a problem already. Some controversy because, you know, I'm sure everyone wanted to see the 49ers and Patriots. That would have some felt that would have been a better matchup, but needless to say, here we go. There's always a storyline, and I guess if we can do a quick little preview about this particular matchup, and it's very interesting. I think both of these teams kind of mirror each other, believe it or not. You got two pretty young quarterbacks. Obviously, Flacco has a little bit more experience than Kaepernick, but you know, obviously, you got some very strong defenses, very great running games. You know, I would give the edge slightly to the receiver to the Ravens, and but like you said, there are certain things, there are certain elements that can go either or in this particular game. The overall winners, and this is something I'll talk about whenever we ask the question, we think that Joe Flacco is an elite quarterback, and I think the slight edge actually belongs to the 49ers, only because I think Kaepernick has a little bit more to offer as far as that position. Obviously, defensively, you got to give it up for the Ravens at certain points too, but I think that's kind of a slight difference as far as the 49ers too. I think they've got a little bit more. I think they've been on a mission too, and obviously you can't knock out Ray Lewis and his desire to go out right into the sunset as a winner too. But it's going to be a great game, in spite of I'm sure everyone wanted to see more of a Patriots game versus the 49ers. But it may not be a high scoring game, if you will, but I think it's going to be a pretty good game, and I give a slight edge to the 49ers.
Well, yeah, it's interesting. I think if you go back 3 or 4 weeks, I don't think either one of us could have even imagined the Ravens being in the Super Bowl. I think realistically, we probably both felt like the 49ers had a shot. Well, I know at least I did. I didn't predict them to win, but I knew they at least had a shot, though, to make it this far. But I don't think too many people around the country or around the world had any thoughts of the Ravens making it to the Super Bowl. And so you got to give them a lot of credit. They went and beat Peyton Manning and Tom Brady on the road 2 weeks in a row. And I'm actually, pulling for the 49ers in this game here in the Super Bowl. I know we have quite a few listeners in the Bay Area, so hopefully that make you happy. But based on the way I've seen the Ravens play the last couple of weeks, and I think the 49ers are a physical team, but the Ravens have played extremely physical. It's like they've taken it up to a whole nother level. I mean, the Patriots had guys dropping like flies in that game. That was a hard-hitting football game. And it seemed like the Ravens were doing all the hard hitting. And so if I'm the 49ers, I think they even have to take their physicality up a whole another level to play against these Ravens at the rate that they're playing right now. Like I said, my early prediction will be that the Ravens will win just because based on what I've seen, they seem to be the more physical team right now. But my heart wants to go with the 49ers. At least that's what I'm pulling for. But I tell you, if the Ravens play any way like they have the last couple of weeks, they're just a more physical team right now. And like I said, they're just laying people out. I mean, you almost think they have a bounty program going right now.
Oh, here we go. I think both these teams are pretty physical too, Rob. I think if you watch the game, they have a pretty dominating defensive and offensive line. They definitely want to – they both want to – hit you, and I think that's definitely the persona of the coach too. Obviously Frank Gore's going to do his thing, and it's like I said, it's not going to be. I don't think it's going to be the highest scoring Super Bowl game, but I think it's going to be a very physical game, and that's why I kind of give a slight edge to the 49ers, only because I think Kaepernick. I don't think he's going to be running as crazy because he doesn't want to get hit by the Ravens defense, but I definitely think there's enough to. He's proved a lot to me as far as the past couple of weeks and, past couple of months to have a little bit of an edge, a little something-something to kind of hopefully get the 49ers over the hump. Go ahead. I'm sorry. Go ahead, Rob.
One thing I'd like to mention real quick is you make a good point about Kaepernick, but the Ravens have struggled this season against mobile quarterbacks. And you look at the three teams the Ravens have beaten in the playoffs, Andrew Luck, Peyton Manning, and Tom Brady. Those are all pocket passers. So the Ravens haven't, other than RG3, and they haven't seen too many quarterbacks like Kaepernick. So that could definitely be an X factor in this game and be an advantage for the 49ers. So I would definitely agree with you there.
Yeah, good points. Keeping it going. For those who want to call in, tell us your thoughts. What do you think about our predictions? Do you like where we're going? Anything that you would like to add, the number to call into the show, it is 424-243-9519. And don't forget to follow us via Twitter. Tweet us your thoughts. Send us any questions as well. We'd love to answer them. That's what we're here for, talking sports with the 12th man. Now, the next question, Rob, that you posed is it's a pretty good question. It is, do we think that Joe Flacco is an elite quarterback? And I would have to say no, and this is why. Now, if you look at the stats, and I actually pulled the stats from NFL Network or NFL.com, actually, and the statistics, like, I think he's actually the 14th ranked quarterback right now. He's passed for like 3,817 yards, 22 touchdowns, 10 interceptions, and he's got an 87.7% QB rating. Now, this is not the knock what he's done. I think he's played extremely well. the past couple of weeks. And Quan Bolden, he's getting him a lot of support, saying he's one of the most talented quarterbacks he's played with. So, and Quan, maybe he's trying to do a little PR thing and try to boost his quarterback's confidence. But like you said, at this juncture, I'm not saying he's elite just yet. Maybe he's just on the cusp of it. You know, I don't picture him just yet with the Drew Breeses, with the Tom Bradys, with the Peyton Mannings, just yet. I think he's coming into his own. The Ravens are going to have to make a pretty big decision depending on the play of his play in the Super Bowl. He's made some plays, Rob, but once again, he's got a very, very strong defense. He's got a very strong running game, and he's done just enough to make sure that they don't lose the game. So that's my thoughts about Joe Flacco.
Well, I think you make a lot of valid points there, and but I think I'm ready to put him in the elite category based on the way he's played in this year's playoffs and last year's playoffs. If you recall, last year in the AFC Championship game, he basically outplayed Tom Brady, and the Ravens missed the field goal to send the kick to overtime. And you look at his stats in this year, he hadn't turned over the ball in the playoffs in three playoff games this year, 8 touchdowns, 0 interceptions. I think he throws a long ball as well as anybody in the NFL. He's got a strong arm. I think if he was in more of a pass-happy offense, he could be putting up huge stats. But I think based on the system that he's playing in the Baltimore, you know, they're relying on a great defense, ball control, you know, smart passes. And I think based on the system that he's playing in Baltimore, he's doing with, you know, what he's asked of, but I think he's definitely capable of putting up bigger numbers if he was in that type of offense. But just based on the way he's played in the postseason, and obviously if they win the Super Bowl, you have to put him in the elite category. But I think I'm about ready to take him up to that notch. And based on the way he played last year in the playoffs, and like I said, this year, 8 touchdowns, no interceptions, no turnovers, taking care of the football, and doing what's asked of him. I think he's taking that next step.
I think it's interesting, Rob. And another quick point that I would say, because, you know, you got to look at a lot of the things that the coaching staff is doing. And I think, and it's kind of like that maturation process because, you know, he still is a young quarterback, but, you know, let's say that, you know, the running game is taken away from, like, if you shut down Ray Rice and other things like that, too, I mean, what's going to happen to him? And that's the thing, too. I mean, he's going to have to rise up and take his game to a whole other level, which is something that, I mean, like you said, I think he's done a couple of things. He's made a couple of great throws, obviously. You know, in spite of what you hear about the Broncos making a mistake on the play, you could say that as well. But, you know, right now, there's too many other things there, so many other elements that, you know, like I said, the strong defense and the strong running game. So if you take that away, you know, there's other quarterbacks that, you know, if something happens to the running game, Drew Brees can elevate that team, or something happens with the Patriots, you know. There's certain things that make teams great, and I don't know if Flacco is just quite yet, you know, there yet. I mean, like you said, I agree with you as far as he's proven a lot of things, but I don't think he's quite ready. That's just me. So we'll see how that plays out over the next couple of weeks, obviously the Super Bowl too. So,
well, one other point I'll make on that is, you know, you go back to the Denver game and you can really say that the Denver secondary had some, you know, questionable coverage. But I tell you what, he made some clutch throws to get the Ravens back into that game by throwing some accurate long passes. Like I said, he throws a long ball as well as anybody in the league. I mean, he's definitely one of the top 5 long ball throwers in the league as far as accurate on the long ball. And like I said, that game was all in Denver's hands, and he played a huge part in getting Baltimore that victory on the road at Denver as well.
Gotcha. Good deal. We love it. Let's keep it going. This is a pretty interesting move as well. We'll talk about the Eagles hiring Pat Shurmur as the offensive coordinator, and the question that we pose, is this a great move? And Chip Kelly making waves, and I actually am going to give Chip Kelly a lot of credit because Pat Shurmur actually was involved in developing Donovan McNabb and Sam Bradford. Now, obviously, Sam Bradford's still a work in progress, but I think this is a great move, and I think this is an interesting move because I think it kind of shows the NFL that Chip Kelly isn't as arrogant as we would, you know, see or believe it or not. You know, he brings a guy that used to be a former head coach to kind of help him out and also to do some things to try to take a lot of pressure off him. So I think this is a great move by Chip Kelly. What do you think, sir?
Oh, I definitely agree with you. I think basically what this does, Chip Kelly has never coached in the NFL before, and now you get an experienced NFL play caller and Pat Shurmur on your staff to really help you out. Pat Shurmur comes from the West Coast offense school, and of course Chip Kelly is a spread guru. So I think they're going to, you know, bridge their minds together and try to see what they can come up with as far as offensive philosophy. But like I said, I think Chip Kelly did the right thing here by hiring a guy who's experienced in the NFL, knows NFL defenses, knows the personnel, and somebody that can help him to bridge him from the college game to the NFL. So I absolutely think it's a great move by Chip Kelly getting them some help.
Gotcha. We've got a quick caller. I'm going to grab this real quick call, Rob. Hello, caller. Welcome to Talking Sports with the 12th Man.
Hey, man, this is a longtime friend, Ross Cass, Andre Pete. This is
Romaine Gaskin. What's going on, man?
Romaine is in the house. You love it.
How you all doing, man? How you all doing?
Doing great. What a surprise phone call.
proud of your show, man. Listen to replay last week. I guess you guys weren't on live, man, but just wanted to call in, man, and actually had a question, man, around what you guys think about the Philadelphia situation, because I heard you guys talking about it. You think Mike Vick a fit at all with the new regime?
I actually think so. I think if Chip Kelly is going to keep that spread principles, I think they will be smart to keep Michael Vick in that offense. I know there was some talk that he may go to the Jets. And from my understanding, he has no part of wanting to go to the Jets.
Right,
and but, yeah, I think he would be a perfect fit for Chip Kelly's offense. Definitely not Nick Foles. And I think they will be smart. They may have to restructure his contract a little bit. But I think they will be smart to try to utilize Michael Vick in that offense.
I agree, man. Yeah, I know you guys will have a whole lot of time, man. I just wanted to call in, man. And Andre Pete, we got to catch up, man. We got
to
catch up.
I love it. I love it, bro, man. It's so great to hear from you.
Keep calling us, my brother.
That's a great surprise.
Oh, excellent show, man. Excellent show. Love the call.
Catch us on the old TV. We're going to be talking about your Lakers.
Oh, yeah. It's hurting. It's hurting, guys, man. One last comment, man. I think the coach is the issue, man. That's just my opinion. Coach,
okay.
There's a whole lot of issues, but that's one of the major ones, man.
I think we talked about it too, Romaine, too. That's funny because you mentioned that because we said because it seemed like you're hiring a coach that doesn't fit that style. Whenever you guys had Brian Shaw the whole time that ran that triangle offense, he should have been the head coach. And, you know, now you're just taking – you guys had so much advantages with height and you're putting, you know, Gasol on the bench. It doesn't make any sense. So
yeah.
We're not a fan.
As quoted,
I think they fired Mike Brown too quickly, too.
I agree. I agree.
Yeah.
You know, as quoted from the Chicago game, before the Chicago game, I think we got to go small. That says it all.
Wow. Well, man, we appreciate the call.
I appreciate you.
Oh,
all right.
Man,
man.
Like
take
this.
It easy.
Keep calling us, brother.
Well. All right. We'll do.
Keep calling.
All right.
Man, that was awesome to hear Ro jump in. Romaine, that was a great call. And for those that want to definitely add your 2 cents, the number that Romaine called was 424-243-9519. Check us out. Also, tweet us, man. We're here at 12th Man. A lot of fun things, so we appreciate the love, too. So let's keep it going, Rob. And I know we're talking about the Eagles and what's been going on with that. As I mentioned, that's a great move. And as Ro said, you know, I know some Eagle fans may not like that move in keeping Michael Vick. And why do you think, like you said, you think that he's going to fit that offense, Rob? I mean, just the last comment about this, too, because I had another guy that said, oh, there's no way that Vick is coming back. There's no way. And now, this guy actually could be a good fit, you know?
Well, you know what? I think before the Chip Kelly hire, I thought Michael Vick was definitely gone. But I think now with the Eagles hiring Chip Kelly, it shows me that the ownership was looking for a coach that can possibly help Michael Vick. And and I think with Chip Kelly, you know, in his spread principles, you know, I just think Michael Vick will be a better fit in that offense. Now, if they want to go to a total West Coast offense, a total NFL pro-style offense, then I think you can, you know, move on and turn over the operation to Nick Foles. But I think if they're going to utilize those spread principles that Chip Kelly liked to utilize, then I think you keep Mike Vick on that team.
I agree. The last point, too, because we talked about it last week, that it seems like there's kind of this whole new movement in the NFL with all these mobile quarterbacks, and Michael Vick is the ultimate mobile quarterback. And the thing you have to worry about is him staying healthy. So obviously you got to protect him. You don't want him taking those runs, but with him and the way that he can actually run that spread type of offense, that could be very, very dangerous. LeSean McCoy, you know, Deshaun Jackson, they add a couple of weapons. This Eagles could actually be back on the rise too. So, you know, we'll see how that plays
out.
Well,
I'll make this point. I think RG3 and Michael Vick, that these are, and, you know, these two guys, to me, still haven't learned how to slide. You know, RG3 is a rookie, so hopefully he's get it. But Michael Vick is in his 30s now. It seemed like he would have gotten it by now. And but he's got to learn how to slide and protect his body. And if you see Russell Wilson and Colin Kaepernick are similar quarterbacks as far as their mobility, but they know how to slide, and, you know, they can play, their careers can last, you know, a long time. And you just can't take these hits like a running back as a quarterback. They're just not ideal. I mean, they wear red jerseys in practice, so you can't touch them. And so they're not used to taking these hits. And so they got to learn to protect their bodies to prolong their careers.
Gotcha. Let's talk a little bit quickly about the NFL coaching carousel. Anything you want to add? As we got about 3 minutes, 3.5 minutes or so left in the show. Do you want to talk about quick things?
We've had a couple of hires since our show on last week. Of course, the Cardinals, Arizona, hired Bruce Arians, who is the Colts offensive coordinator. I think that's a solid hire there. And you look at San Diego hiring the offensive coordinator from the Denver Broncos, Mike McCoy. I think that's another solid move as well. I think the discouraging aspect of the hires, not one African-American hire, the coach of the eight coaching hires. So that's a little bit discouraging from that aspect. And I think the one that's discouraging me the most is Lovie Smith not getting another head coaching job. Andy Reid got another head coaching job. And don't get me wrong, I think Andy Reid is a heck of a football coach and is very well deserving of another head coaching job. But I also thought Lovie Smith was very deserving. Andy Reid took his team to the Super Bowl one time and lost, and he took his team to some NFC Championship games and lost, and so did Lovie Smith. He took his team to the Super Bowl and lost, and he took his team to some NFC Championship games and lost. So I think they both had similar resumes, and I think Lovie Smith was very deserving of another head coaching job, and so that, to me, was a little discouraging from that aspect. But I know we don't have a whole lot of time. I don't know if you want to add any 2 cents to that, Dr. Dre.
No, I agree with you. It's very very disheartening. I was telling that to a person close to the situation, too. I was like, man, the only head coach that I think is in there is Leslie Frazier. So it's just, disappointing. But, you know, like you said, hopefully there'll be another opportunity for Lovie Smith moving forward. We thought that that was kind of an unfair firing. But, you know, as mentioned, you know, hopefully he'll get another opportunity because I think he's a good coach as well. We've got about a minute and 40-something seconds, Rob. You want to talk about fantasy shout-outs and set up the OT portion of the show? That would be great, my friend.
Yeah, fantasy shout-out real quick. Our fantasy basketball league, our leader right now is Anthony Davis, the new number 23. Has moved into first place in our fantasy basketball league. Of course, we got a lot of remaining action to go. Once again, most of you all, hopefully you will stay in tune to our fantasy leagues coming up. Of course, we have fantasy football next season. So stay in tune to our fantasy updates and things of that nature. But Anthony Davis, the new number 23, is in first place. That's Ronald. Is moving to first place in our fantasy basketball league. Stay tuned. I know some of you all can't listen to our OT portion, but hopefully tomorrow, if you're on your lunch break, you know, need something to do, click on the same link you clicked on to listen to the show. You can catch the remaining of our show. We still have some more NFL. We have some NBA to get to. We mentioned that we're going to get to the Lakers on our OT section. So stay tuned for that and some college basketball. And also join us next Tuesday night, 11 p.m. Eastern, 10 Central, 8 Pacific. For our friends in Germany, that's 5 a.m.
Woohoo! We appreciate you guys listening. Don't forget to follow us. Our Facebook page, facebook.com/12thmansports. Follow us on Twitter, at the number 12, THMAN Sports. We got a lot of updates. We always try to keep you guys breaking news, all that fun stuff. We got some NFL stuff to discuss and a big NBA trade as well. So we got a lot of things. thank you guys for talking, and we'll see you guys next week.
Good night, world.
Good night, world. With a lot of love. We are getting ready to jump into the OT portion of the show, Robin. And, yes, before we wrap up and head up talking about the NBA, let's talk about some quick additions to the Pro Bowl rosters. Obviously, as a Falcons fan, very excited to see both of our safeties made it, William Moore and Thomas Dekou. I prefer that they would not make it in this manner, but, you know, it is what it is. But also, Andrew Luck and Russell Wilson were added to the Pro Bowl roster. They actually were replacing Tom Brady for Andrew Luck, and Russell Wilson replaces Matt Ryan. So I think these are excellent, excellent additions. Even though, Rob, the game is under a lot of scrutiny right about now, because I think the players are kind of realizing that the fans aren't happy with the effort that they're getting in the Pro Bowls.
Yeah, you know, football is such a tough sport to have an all-star game because it's just such a, you know, I always say basketball is a physical sport, but football is a collision sport. So, you know, it's a very dangerous sport to be having an all-star game in. And so, you know, a lot of players are playing very tentatively, so make sure they don't get hurt and things of that nature. You can understand that, too. I mean, these are their careers and things of that nature. And so it's definitely not the easiest sport to have an all-star game in. And you know, I think the NFL's got to do some serious, you know, research and figure out what we need to do here. So do we continue to have this game? Should we discontinue it and just have a Pro Bowl television show or something? I don't know. But it's, you know, it's not the ideal sport to have a, you know, a real competitive, you know, all-star game.
Yeah, it's just tough because and that's the thing, though. Whenever you're playing not to get injured, that's what it seems like you end up getting injured, Rob. So I definitely understand the players' concerns because a lot of them are making a lot of business decisions. They're not going to go all out. And you know, there's got to be some type of balance too, Rob. I don't know whether I don't know how we fix this problem too. So maybe we'll get some thoughts about this because you want to see your players. And if you're saying, hey, I'm a Pro Bowl player, I'm sure that's a good way to say, you know, if you're trying to get contract negotiations or something like that, or say, hey, I was in the Pro Bowl or vice versa. I do think it does add a little status to that particular situation, but it is a very violent game, and we got to figure out a way how to make it so that, you know, we keep players from being injured. So I don't know. I haven't thought of the correct answer for that yet, but, you know, we'll have to definitely keep that on the forefront. Ah, good job, good job. Let's talk about a quick subject that doesn't seem to go away, and that is the Notre Dame situation with Manti Te'o. There's been a lot of jokes going on, Rob, about Te'o's girlfriend, which is kind of sad at this juncture. But at the end, the question is, do we think that Notre Dame let Te'o down in this whole scenario, Rob? So I'm going to throw it up to you and kind of let you add your thoughts to this.
Well, you know what? I don't think so. I mean, I know there's some thoughts now that Notre Dame should have had the property securities in place to prevent this from happening. And I don't really know what Notre Dame could have done in this situation. I personally, you know, I still have some issues with the story. I don't believe that Manti Te'o was a part of the hoax. I think I'm under the belief that he didn't have anything to do with it. But I think the problem what I do have with Manti Te'o in this situation is, first of all, how do you call someone you never met your girlfriend? You know, whether you're part of the hoax or not, I have a problem with that. And, you know, I mean, that's, you know, and then to, you know, go on national TV and do a story and things of that nature. And I think another problem I have with the story is, okay, if your girlfriend had leukemia, why you didn't take any great efforts to, you know, go and visit her? And so, you know, there's a part of me that wants to believe that he was not a part of the hoax. But then when you think about those kind of aspects, you never made any attempts to go visit her as she's recovering from leukemia. That's, you know, that's still a little sketchy to me. And, I mean, I just hope, you know, and, you know, we're, you know, everybody deserves a second chance. And I'm rooting for the young. He's still a young kid. We have to keep that in mind, too, as well. You know, I'm rooting for him to bounce back from this. But I'm still just not quite understanding the story in its entirety at the current time.
Yeah, there's a lot of confusion.
But I don't think Notre Dame was at fault at all, just my opinion.
It's kind of tough, Rob. That's the thing, too. As media, sometimes people try to get the story out so fast that they miss crucial pieces of information, and that's the thing that's very disappointing about this, because I don't really know what's true, what's false. You know, we know that she wasn't there and she died. I don't even know, and that's kind of the confusing part. But I have to disagree with you, because if you're a school, you know, obviously, I think they kind of take a step back and kind of just try to disassociate themselves with Theo as opposed to supporting him. So, but, you know, I don't know. I mean, at the end of the day, maybe because he was graduating and he's going to, you know, pro, so maybe like, hey, you know, we're wiping our hands of this. I don't know. But at the end of the day, you know, you still went into becoming an alumni. You still want to look good for future recruits. They should have done more to kind of support him, say, hey, you know, whatever's going on, let's dig deeper, figure out what's going on before we release this crazy story. So, you know, get the story right, you know, at the end of the day. So that's me. It's just very disheartening, you know, but I still don't know what's going on. So it's just confusing if you ask me. So I don't know, Rob. One of those things. Let's keep it going. Let's talk about a very important topic, especially for all of our Lakers fans, and this is for you, Romaine, for calling in. The word on the street is that the Lakers may be giving up on the Gasol-Howard duo, and this is, I mean, if you're a Lakers fan, Rob, this is probably the lowest of the low, because I'm sure going into this season, if we would have told you that you would have had Dwight Howard, Steve Nash, Antoine Jameson, we talked about this earlier, you know, that seemed like a pretty good team. And now you got Mike D'Antoni talking about we're going small. What's going on, Rob? It doesn't make any sense.
Well, I tell you what, I think when you and I did our predictions here before the NBA season started, I think you and I both had OKC and the Lakers in the Western Conference Finals.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the way it's looking right now, the Lakers may not even make the playoffs.
Yeah.
Which is mind-boggling when you think about the fact. And I have a good friend of mine. He and I had a discussion prior to season starting. He says, go back and look at those Lakers games against the Thunder in the playoffs last year. We have Ramon Sessions at point guard. And
wow.
He says, think about it. If we had just a little bit, a point guard just a little bit better than him, we would have beat the Thunder in the playoffs. I disagreed with him at the time. But that's how much the Lakers fans thought they were going to get over the hump with Nash, Howard, Gasol, and Bryant. And, you know, like I said, rightfully so, I thought they would at least make it to the Western Conference Finals. So it is a little bit mind-boggling. It just doesn't seem like they have the right offensive philosophy yet with this group. And now there are reports out today that the Lakers are shopping both Gasol and Howard. I don't think they want to trade them both, but they want to at least trade one of them. And they're just going to look and see, you know, what kind of deal they're going to get back in return. And but they are openly ready to shop Gasol and Howard and see which one they can get a great deal for. They don't believe that the Twin Tower offense is working with those two guys.
That is simply amazing. Now, if you're going to make a trade for Howard, is that a good move? Because essentially it seems like you're getting like a rental player in Howard unless you move forward and unless, you know, you're probably going to try to sign him to an extension. Why would you make that move?
Well, I think you would have to find a team that Howard is willing to sign a long-term contract with. That would be number one. Or it has to be a team that think they're on the cusp of winning the NBA championship and that Howard could help them. I think a team would trade a player, even if it's for half a season. If you can help them win the NBA title, then you will make a move like that. And so, you know, we'll have to wait and see. Obviously, Gasol is signed for a few more years. So he might be the easiest one to trade because at least you have the guy under contract for a little while longer. And Howard, of course, is becoming a free agent. And, you know, I've said this on our show several weeks back. Dwight Howard just doesn't look happy at the Lakers. You know, there are reports that him and Kobe are not getting along. And, you know, he just doesn't seem like his normal happy self. He's normally a, you know, openly silly guy. He just does not seem happy out in La La Land.
Yeah, winning covers up a lot of that's what they say, you know, winning masks a lot of the stink, man. So, you know, if you're winning, everything is happy, and since they're not winning, you know, obviously it's probably why Dwight isn't too happy. But, you know, we talked about it before as well, be careful what you wish for because you may get it. So he wanted to be gone, and now maybe missing Orlando. But we'll see how this is going to happen, and we'll definitely keep an eye on the situation with this particular story. Let's talk about real quick, Robin. We've got about 5 minutes so left to show in the OT portion of this. The Grizzlies actually completed a multi-player trade with the Cleveland Cavaliers. The biggest news, and they're not really big players that were traded, but the fact of the matter is they actually sliced about $6 million of their payroll, and that's obviously to get under that luxury tax. And if you've listened to the show, we were talking about they were interested in moving and shopping Rudy Gay. Now they can actually keep Rudy Gay, so that's pretty big, I think, if you're a Memphis Grizzlies fan, if you're a Grizzlies fan, excuse me, if I can get that out, because now you get to keep one of your best players. So I don't care if you're talking about this as well or what. Yeah.
Yes, absolutely. They were both shopping Rudy Gay and Zach Randolph here, you know, trying to see if they can, you know, get under the luxury tax. Obviously, you know, of that trade, losing Maurice Bates is really the only name that's, you know, hurt them as far as the rotation is concerned. And actually Wayne Ellington a little bit, too. He would come off the bench and contribute. So I think Memphis here, you know, you keep your core starting five intact, but you lose a little bit of depth. And so you have to hope down the line that they can replace that with some draft picks down the road, replacing that depth. Obviously, you know, Memphis started the season on a tear, but they're still not there yet on the championship level. Obviously, the way OKC and the Clippers are playing, they look like they're headed for a collision course to battle for their Western Conference title. See, we knew a Los Angeles team may make it to the Western Conference Finals, but I think we had the wrong Los Angeles team. Looked like
amazing.
It was going to be the Clippers. Clippers and the Thunder battling it out. But, you know, I think in the end, I think the Thunder will still be the best team in the West.
Pretty good rivalry possibly happening between the Brooklyn Nets and the New York Knicks. And is this legit? That's the question. And I think it is legit. Brooklyn has kind of stumbled a little bit, but I think it's good for the league to have these two teams kind of kick it off. What are your thoughts?
I think so, too. I think it's starting to come into a rivalry. And you look at Brooklyn ever since they fired my boy Avery Johnson, which I did like at the time. But, you know, it's so far it's worked. I mean, they're about 9-2 since the firing. And Brooklyn has kind of moved back into one of the top four teams in the Eastern Conference here. And looking like they're playing really well. I mean, they have some great personnel. And it looks like this could be a rivalry for a long time. Very intriguing rivalry for New Yorkers. And I think the mayor or the lead guy for the borough of Brooklyn is saying that the Knicks should now be called the Manhattan Knicks instead of the New York Knicks. So should be interesting. But I think they're going to be brewing a rivalry here. And even for somebody that doesn't live in New York like myself, it's very intriguing to watch from afar.
Gotcha. Let's talk about the Kings, and there's rumors about them moving to Seattle. This is a good move for the NBA, and I'm going to have to say this is definitely a bad move. The Kings are they're kind of like Sacramento's team at this time. I know even though they moved before, but I think if you're Seattle, they should do everything in their power to kind of get their own team, and hopefully David Stern will do his best to kind of help open up that league to let them have another team to come in there, because I don't think it's good for them to move the Kings at this juncture. And it's obviously if they didn't want the team, but this is a bad move in my opinion.
Yeah, I think it's good and bad. I think if it does happen, I think Seattle is, you know, very deserving of an NBA franchise, but I also feel like Sacramento is very deserving as well. So I somewhat agree that I'll prefer the Kings to stay in Sacramento. And I will prefer the NBA to eventually expand, even though it may expand to an odd number, to go from 30 to 31 teams and get a new franchise for the Seattle market, which I think is also a very good NBA market. It's not all said and done yet. You know, Kevin Johnson has got a last-minute pitch here he's trying to put together. And so he's definitely fighting to keep that team in the city. So it's not officially a done deal yet. So there's still hope for Sacramento here.
Gotcha. We've got a minute left, Rob. Let's set up for next week. Maybe we're going to talk about your mock draft, sir, and some other exciting things. But let's get going as we get ready to wrap up the show.
Yes, we got to find some time on one of these shows. Got a new mock draft coming, already done. And we're going to try to make some time here in the upcoming shows to talk about some mock drafts as football season is winding down here. We're going to definitely preview the Super Bowl all over again on next week. So make sure you join us next Tuesday, 11 p.m. Eastern, 10 Central, 8 Pacific, 5 a.m. Wednesday morning for our friends in Germany.
a lot of love, you guys. Stay tuned next week. And just to say that real quick, I think that Michigan is better than Duke real quick.
I'm going to say, even though I hate Duke, I think they're still the better team as of right now. So go Tar Heels.
Love it, love it, love it. That's what it's all about, guys. Tune into us next week. Talk to you guys soon.
Good night, world.